Selah. And let's think about the title of what we're going to be doing this year. God's Names, A Portrait of His Heart. And why are we studying God's names? I'm going to give you my first reason why I always do anything. because I've learned the hard way not to do it the other way. Which is, you know, first of all, I asked the Lord, I'm pretty much signed up for the rest of my life to do some sort of study in the Bible and giving it away. But as I was finishing up last year, I said, Lord, you know, I'm just going to start asking right now. Last spring, you know, what do you want to teach me this year so that I can give it away? Because that's how I like to do it. I like for him to teach me, and then I've got something to say because I feel like I've received. And I was walking to my one, I work as a part-time pharmacist in a very busy retail pharmacy. I float from place to place, and this is like the busiest of the busy. And I got my one bathroom break in 8 hours, and I was walking by. And I'm walking by one of those, y'all know those little round things that twirl with books? And I can't believe they let us have these in there, but there was like a little Christian book thing right there that I was walking by as fast as I could to go to the bathroom, because you get about 3 minutes to go do that. And there, right in my line of vision, the one set of letters that crossed my path, other than somebody's prescription that day, said the names of God. And I went, okay. Well, I'm kind of thinking I need to think about the names of God. And it was just interesting because I'll tell you a testimony at the end of what we do today about how God has really done an amazing work in my life just over from that time till now, and it's still in progress, just using one of his names. And so I'm hoping what we'll do is we'll be kind of be doing two things at one time. We'll be focusing on a particular name of God for a season, but all the while we'll be behind the scenes exploring lots of names of God. So that's what my hope is, and we're just making this up as we go, hoping that the Lord, you know, knowing that we're trusting him to do this for us. And as I was just thinking about, how do you kick off a series about God's names? I mean, you could say a bunch of names. I'm not going to do that. I just thought, well, you know, God, first of all, in the Bible, that's his message to us, his instruction booklet and his love letter to us. The word, if you combine the Hebrew word for names and the Greek word in the New Testament for names, the word name is used over 1,000 times. I mean, God is big on names. He's big on calling people by name, and that was my first point on the lesson. I mean, and I just think these verses are so precious. He calls us by name, and I've always just been so blessed by Isaiah 43:1 that says, "Thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." And you see there in that, just that one verse, two things God does a lot. He calls people by name. He calls them out. He puts his finger on them. He reaches out and he makes a connection with them. And he speaks purpose into their lives. And oftentimes you'll see in Scripture that God will use a name to change the course of someone's life or to change the way they see themselves. That's what he did for Jacob. And so he goes back and forth. You know, it's like nicknames with our kids. I still call my gigantic son Buddy, which is what we, you know, that's what we called him at the house. I mean, he's still Buddy to me, but he's also Dr. Gerardo to somebody else. So, you know, it's one of those things that to me that denotes relationship. And I spent all last year studying relationship, and that is what God's all about. So I think it's a relational thing too. God is big on that. Secondly, we want to be sure that as representatives, you know, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors of Christ. And we're named by the name of Christ, being Christians and believers. So we want to do things for his name's sake. And there's several references here, but I love the one in Acts. I'll just read that one for you. You can look at the others in your own time. But Paul was talking about in being ready basically to be martyred for Jesus. He said he was ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's a really high commitment. We want to revere God's name and be committed to God's name and to honor it. And then the things that we can do in his name are amazing. You know, we can praise in God's name. We can say, just like the people in Jesus' day that he sent out, we can say, you know, even demons are subject to us in in the name of Jesus. But the one that I really love so much that I put on the paper is that John 16 reference. And I love this so much. Let's read it. It's kind of wordy, but it's John 16, 23 and 24 from the Amplified. It says, I assure you, this is Jesus speaking right before he goes to the cross. In that upper room discourse, that last time he got to give instructions to his disciples, he says, I assure you and most solemnly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name as my representative, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked the Father for anything in my name, but now ask and keep on asking and you will receive so that your joy may be made full and complete. Wow. That's a pretty big statement, don't you think? That's a very powerful invitation. And so we're going to be doing that. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to spend our year doing what Jesus just said we can do. And I want to focus now on what God's name has to do with our identity, because it really has everything to do. It's the healthy way to view ourselves. It's the godly way to view ourselves. And I've titled that, Who God Is Determines Who I Am. One of the tools we'll use is a little booklet that'll be in the registration materials if you register for class. And it's a book written by what's become a friend of mine. This lady's from Birmingham. Her name's Sylvia Gunner. And it's a little booklet called Nuggets. And it's got over 450 names of God in it. And so the way she set it up is the way I want us to think about our identity. She'll just have a verse, like the one we just read. Let's say John 16 is the verse that we just read. So if God is the Father, who God is the Father that will give to us when we ask in Jesus' name, then we, as followers of Jesus, are receivers of all that the Father has for us. I mean, so who he is determines who I am in any given situation. I wanted to look at that biblically, and I took three examples of people that are familiar to us. One is David. I said about myself, I got a chance to talk about this series at Covenant when we have the women's kickoff, and I wrote a little blog about it to ask people if they wanted to come, and talked about my testimony of I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know him very well. I was raised in a Bible teaching church, and I learned a lot of Bible verses, and those are, I'm so grateful for it, because God, you know, God says when you store up his word in your heart, it helps us to live the way he wants us to live, and I did that a lot of years, but without the benefit of really having an intimate relationship with him. And so David is someone who didn't do it that way. He did it the other way. He did it the way I want all of us to do it. He had an intimate heart knowledge of God. And he wrote the verse that to me is the essence of what I seek to do when I receive from the Lord and when I give away from the Lord, and it's Psalm 51:6. And this is what he wrote. He says, Behold, you, God, desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Y'all, that's where we want to know. We don't want to just know in our heads. We want to know there in our innermost being, in our hearts. And, you know, David began to learn from an early age that God doesn't look at, he doesn't do what man does. Man looks at the outside of a person. 2 Samuel 16:7 is a verse that says that. It says man looks at the outside of the person. Man looks at how we look, what we do, how we behave, how we reach the bar or miss it, that kind of thing. But God looks at our hearts. And, you know, David understood, you can tell from his writings, that he understood the language of the heart. The language of our heads is information, reasoning, knowledge. Our hearts respond to a different language. Our hearts respond to poetry. David was a poet. Song, that's reason, one of the reasons we sing, because we can receive in a different pathway when we do that. Journaling, somehow getting that, taking that Bible verse, even just writing a verse down word for word, taking it from reading it on the paper to it coming out the end of my pen. Something happens when I do that. That it starts that heart connection going. spirit-to-spirit connecting, whether that be between me and you, because God's spirit lives in you and God's spirit lives in me, we can connect spirit-to-spirit, connecting spirit-to-spirit in the vertical with him. That kind of connection is heart kind of knowledge that happens. Pictures. You'll see Jesus tells stories, and they're just word pictures. It says in Matthew 13:34 that Jesus said nothing to them without a story. And think about it, he did that. And so testimonies and stories and word pictures, those are things our hearts connect to. Those are the things you really remember. You might not remember the Bible verse, but you'll remember the story about the Bible verse. And so I think it's important to differentiate between that and catch yourself when you're just spouting off a fact. It's so tempting in the moment when you see somebody hurting or they've got an issue just to give them that Bible verse that fits it. But instead, to just do that deep heart thing, I think is what I am learning is so much more fulfilling, so much more rewarding. So, and that's why I encourage you to do the whole package, to come to sing, come to visit, come to sing, come to listen to God's word, come to connect spirit to spirit as you share in those safe small groups and as you pray with the Lord. That is a way we can cultivate that heart knowledge. So who was God to David? God is a God who looks at the heart. And who was David? The Bible says in both Old and New Testament, he was a man after God's own heart. Wow, don't y'all want to be listed as that? Someday I would love that to be an epitaph on my life. Another example is Peter. And interestingly, that in the same chapter that we're about to read in Matthew 16, right at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus rebukes the disciples for reasoning. Why do you reason among yourselves, he was saying. And then you see what happens with Peter in Matthew 16. And this is on your paper, Matthew 16:13-18. It says, Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So let me just make three brief points about that passage. It's a really pivotal passage, I think, in the Bible. I think the main point that I'd like to make is that Peter had a heart knowledge of who Jesus was, that he was the Son of the living God. And that enabled Jesus then to make the connection for Peter of who he was. His identity, Peter's identity, was linked to Jesus' identity. Who am I to you, Peter? I am the Son of the living God. And who are you, Peter? You're no longer Simon, but you're Peter. You're the rock and the church planter. That knowledge of Jesus enabled Peter to know who he was. And I thought it was very interesting and noteworthy that Jesus said, and blessed are you, Simon, that flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. That's that heart knowledge, spirit to spirit kind of revelation that we want and that I believe is available to us. That's what God built his church on, is revelation. So it was revealed by God. Lastly, let's talk in terms of people in the Bible about our buddy Abe. Love Abraham. I love studying his life. He's the father of our faith, and he was called father when he was not a father physically. But he had God's promises, and I've listed two of them for you there, once in Genesis 12, once in Genesis 13. God had told him, you will bless all the nations. You'll be a nation, and your descendants will be like dust. So God, he uses the name with in those passages with Abraham, is the name Yahweh. That's the kind of the first name that God speaks of himself. And Yahweh, he gives in the context of covenant keeping. In that Genesis 12 passage, he said, I will make a covenant with you, Abraham. So Yahweh, it means self-existent one, but it also means covenant keeping God. So that's who God was. Who was Abraham? father of many nations. God already told him that. That's what he said. That's who. That's your identity. But what I found in my own life and what we see here very vividly for Abraham, he had this promise from God. He had this word spoken over him of his identity. You're going to be a father of many nations, but he had himself a big old gap between who God said he was and who he actually was and experienced. And I mean, I don't know if any of you can identify with that, but I sure can, that sometimes I feel like God's calling me to be a person or to believe that I can become a person that the evidence doesn't match up with it. So what do we do? I think we can find a really great hint or two here in Genesis 15. And let me read that for us. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield.'" And if you'll notice in all these passages, God gives us these words. I mean, like, he's not saying, "My name is Shield." But that's a great name of God, isn't it? I mean, each one of these passages has several things we can take on as a name and personalize for our own lives. So he's saying to Abraham, "Don't be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And he's talking about this guy who's a servant, which was a custom in that day. If you had no biological offspring, then you passed on the family jewels to some servant family that had served you. "And behold," verse 4, "the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" So Abraham did something really good here. He had a dialogue with God. And another name for dialogue with God is prayer. You know, and I think sometimes we make that into some kind of a little, maybe more complicated than it has to be. Prayer is just a relational communication. It, you know, that it's got to be that way if we're going to pray without ceasing. And I think that's the kind of relationship that God desires with us. It's just that constant, you know, sometimes you can kind of have that dialogue going without saying anything. But it's just that awareness of his presence. So, but Abraham is actually voicing to God what's going on. "I've got myself a big old gap, God," you know. And God speaks to it. So I think Abraham gets an A-plus there. The other thing that I want to notice is that God's made this promise, and he's not saying, "Abraham, go do something, buddy. Get on out there and do something about this. Get out there and fix it. Make it happen." He's not putting the responsibility on Abraham. And I think that's something that I need to be reminded of today, is because, you know, it's so tempting. But the one thing he does tell Abraham to do is look now toward heaven. Look now toward heaven, Abraham. Look and see who it is that's calling you. Who it is that's calling you father. It's the covenant-keeping God, Yahweh. That's who I am. And because that's who I am, you can be father of nations. You just, your job really is just to keep your eyes focused on heaven and who I am. But what did Abraham do? I was reading a commentary on this passage by Tony Evans. I don't know if y'all know him, but he's that black preacher from someplace out in Texas, and he's so funny. And I was reading this commentary that he wrote, and he said, "And then Abraham went logical on God." And I thought, that is good. I laughed out loud when I heard it. And I thought, yes, I do that. You know, and that's exactly the point that we want to take note of here, is that yes, we all do it, don't we? But let's encourage one another and build it up each other and remind each other toward love and good deeds, as it says in Hebrews. That's why we're here, is to help each other not do that, is that we can learn from Abraham's bad example in this case about not going logical on him, and instead let his name be a portrait of God's heart instead of just some information that sounds really great, you know. Because we see, you know, here, this is, God says this to him in Genesis 15, and at the very beginning of 16, you see Abraham just kind of lost hold of it, and he goes out and he does the whole Ishmael thing, and we all know that was not probably a very good idea. So, wasn't God's plan A, was it? So I hope you can get the point from these three characters in the Bible that who you are is based on who God is. anytime you have a name of God, I want you to look at what that name means, and then what does that mean about who you are? So that's just sort of some basic training principles that we want to apply. And then the last point I want to make is the reason we can say that, the reason we can appropriate those benefits to ourselves and those blessings to ourselves is because God has promised that he would be that, who he is to us, that everything, as we sing, everything is ours in him. Everything is mine in him. And I've tried to just reiterate that point again and again, and we're going to help each other do that this year. We did that through the songs that we selected, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Everything Is Mine in You by Christy Knuckles. That's on our new music CD for the year. I've got the blue page as a tool and technique, and a tool and technique in my mind is something that you go back to again and again. If you've been with me for very long under teaching, you've probably got about 20 copies of this by now. And I'm just going to say it was my very first time to sit when I remember writing it. I remember having that. I was at kind of where Abraham was. I was sitting on my sofa in my spot and thinking, God, what can I believe you for? Nothing is going like I thought it was. And I don't even remember what the situation was. But I remember just being in that state of frustration thinking, I just don't know what I can even believe you for. I'm just stuck. And I just kind of sat there. And the Lord had me to pick up this little book, $2, on one of those little round things at your local pharmacy. You know, and it was like, you can look at this little book or you can look at this big book. But everything that's in here and everything that's on these two, and everything that's in that little nugget book, those are ours because God promised, because God said. And I'm just going to give you two verses to go with that. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. So I'm just going to pause right there and say, knowing God is how we access that. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. So everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That is another big statement. I mean, that's a big, hard to wrap your mind around what he's saying there. But everything you need to live a godly life, everything you need to make it to glory is available to you in Christ. And you access that by the good, glorious character of our God. Using his names is an excellent way to do it. Using those spiritual blessings that he's promised and those promises he's made. Did y'all know that there's a Names of God translation of the Bible? New information for me. I forget which website I got it on. I think maybe Bible Gateway. But when you go to it, it'll show in bold letters which name of God. Instead of just saying God, it'll say, then Elohim said, you know, and it'll have it in bold letters. It's really cool. But so I checked it out for the verse in Ephesians 1:3 in the Names of God, and it says, through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. I thought that was a cool, we didn't give a name of God, but they said it well, so I put it on the paper for that. I wanted to share with you at this point just a challenge and a testimony. I want us to make it personal. I don't want it just to be kind of like we're just going through this material together. Isn't this a great lesson? Isn't this a good name of God? I want to really challenge you to make it personal. And that's kind of what got me going on this whole thing. Back about a year ago, probably about a year ago, the question came to mind. Who do you want to be for me, God, in this year? I'd like to just, you know, ask you for a name of God that, who do you want to be for me? And I think there's great merit in doing that in a real focused way. And I want to, I'm doing it with that little nugget booklet. I'm doing it on a daily basis. Who do you want to be for me today, God? Is awesome. And I'd say do that every single day if you want to. But I think there's real, and if you want to do it for my marriage, for my mothering, for my ministry, for my career, for my finances, I think God will meet you there, and I think he'll give you something. But I think what I want to lead the way in the teaching and doing is taking time to really focus and dig down deep in one name of God and let that be your main focus in terms of the aspect of him you want to get to know. And that's what he did with me. He gave me the name El Shaddai. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that name, but the way I've always known that name to mean was all-sufficient one. And heaven knows I needed some sufficiency in my life because I was in a season where I was spinning a lot of plates. God had me spread really, really thin. I like to be busy, but this was beyond my comfort zone of busy and full plate. But I knew, as I checked my life, as I checked going back to how did I get here, I felt pretty sure. No, I think I'm supposed to be doing. No, I'm called to my family. I know I'm, yep, okay. God, all sufficient. That's a great name. I'm receiving that from you. And so I thought that was really interesting. And then he had me also focusing kind of simultaneously on Father. And that's what we're going to start next week. And we will spend, I don't know how many weeks on Father. I'm so pumped, y'all. I could just, I'm going to have twins again next week, I think, because I've got a bunch to say about it. And it's a blessing beyond words. I mean, it's just, I haven't plumbed the depths of all that can be. And I don't think we'll ever plumb the depths of it, even into all of eternity. But anyhow, so I kind of had both of these things going. And it was interesting because we all know from Scripture that when we come into the faith, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we become children of God. And God becomes Father and Mother to us, which is what I'm about to tell you my testimony is. And he gives us Jesus as our firstborn elder brother. And then he gives us a lot of sisters and brothers in the family of God. And he raises up spiritual moms and dads in the family of God. And he uses, you know, the Godhead, the Trinity, to minister to us, reparenting. And he uses the family of God to reparent us. Because what we learn from our parents, even the best parents among us, and I think if you're a parent, you probably can agree with this statement, though an earthly parent gives their best, there's going to be some erroneous things that get planted in the heart of a child. There's going to be some wounds because of just our brokenness that happen in our hearts because we're born to broken people in a broken world. And so I had some of that. And so what God does in the family of God is he reparents us and he teaches us the truth and he helps us to receive love and healthy relationship and encouragement and building one another up and for us to remind one another who we are. That's not who you are. This is who you are. You know, this is really who you are. This is who you're going to be kind of thing. And so I am so blessed. I'm going to tell you, I am a millionaire in spiritual mothers and dads and sisters and brothers. I really am. But in the season I was in, that I'm testifying to you about with El Shaddai, what I realized, and God used this name to do a really big healing work in my heart, is that God showed me that I needed reparenting from my reparenting. That there were, you know, that because even the children of God are still human beings, that there were some gaps in my spiritual education that had happened from various sources. And I'm not pointing at any particular one. I'm talking about pastors I've heard over the airwaves, books I've read, teachers, elders, ministers, in all kind of situations. And so I saw that part of the problem was my own means of receiving. That I had, when someone I highly respected, when someone God had put in my life, had spoken or even just acted in a way that I thought was really amazing and different and something I wanted to learn from, I had latched onto it as thus saith the Lord. And I had received it way down deep to a place that was maybe 2D. Not that it wasn't good. I'm not saying what they said was wrong. I'm just saying that I received it maybe to a place that was inappropriate. So anyway, the Lord began to show me this, and I was going, "Oh wow!" And I think you'll hear some of the specific stories, and they're kind of some of them were heart wrenching as I've gone through these last several months of the Lord just showing me places where I needed reparenting for my reparenting. So meanwhile, I have this name El Shaddai that I think means all sufficient God, and it does. And the Lord had me do as he sometimes does, and had me look it up in the original language. And guess what it means in the original language? Many-breasted one. And so I'm thinking, many-breasted one? Am I reading that correctly? Many-breasted one. Wow, okay, I'm going to write that on my paper. But as I wrote it down, and as I was telling you, you know, sometimes whatever happens when I just, you know, pen to pad, the Lord reminded me of a picture, back to that heart language thing, of a picture he had given me. And I do find that pictures really minister to me. He had given me a picture some months before that of me as an infant. And it was a picture of the Father sitting on the throne in heaven, and me as an infant in his arms, and me at his breast. He was breastfeeding me, and I thought, is that really what I'm seeing there? But it was a comforting thought that God just had me close to his heart, and he was holding me, and that I could just be like a tiny infant in his arms. But when I read that many-breasted one, and I thought, and I remember, I have a lot. I'll put my sanctified imagination with lots of songs and Bible verses. So I have a lot of pictures that, you know, I kind of go to in my mind. But that one stood out. I'll just tell y'all, that one stood out. So when I read many-breasted one, and I thought about that, I thought, that's kind of a confirmation. And then right on the heels of that, let me read this Bible verse to you. And to me, I give you this because it's the way to do it and because it ministered to me a confirmation. Isaiah 66, 12 and 13 from the Amplified, it's on your paper, says this. The Lord says this, behold, I extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed. And you will be carried on her hip and playfully rocked on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted in Jerusalem. And I read that and I thought, wow, that hits a deep place in me. And what I realized was, you know, it was interesting because I have an elderly mother, and I mean, I hope she lives to be 110. I really do. But, you know, the reality is I probably will spend some days on this world without her. So that was a place that really ministered to her, to me, because of, you know, her age and everything. And just the fact that I was able to realize and embrace, you know, we never get too old to want to be mothered. And how precious that God wants to mother us, that he's got a mother heart. And how sweet that the very things he blesses us with, he wants to give away through us. And what better, you know, group to share the mother heart of God with is to a group of women who have those same desires to not only be comforted and nourished and nurtured, but we as women tend to want to comfort and nourish and nurture also. So I've sort of come to think about this as the mother anointing of God, and that God really has just ministered to me in a deep way. And I'll just give you all what it looks like from this scripture. My job is very stressful, and it's one where I have to, by virtue of safety of my patients, stay in my head a lot. And I've really struggled with having a disconnect between heart and head in those moments. I go in all praised up, all prayed up, all filled up with the Holy Spirit. And then I get there, and then I've got to be just, you know, it's just constant. It's very fast-paced, and it's very, frankly, stressful. And it's hard. It's easy to go from a place of peace to a place of stress pretty quick. Because the phone and the noise and the drive-through and the patients and the demands and the clock and the screen and all that stuff. And so I started praying this verse back to God. I started saying every morning, thank you that you're El Shaddai, and thank you that you are a God who is extending peace to me like a river. That picture just, it's like a stream. And then I was able to put the picture together of, and I can just be like a baby at your breast, and the stream that I'm drinking deeply of is your peace. Wow, okay, God, I want that. I want to be able to hang on to that all day long. And what I noticed is my stress level went down at work. It's like, how is this even possible? How can you be watching the clock seriously, they're timing everything you do. How fast you pick up the phone, how fast you fill that prescription, how fast you know. And so how can you be at peace while you're doing that? But I don't know, I'm just finding myself to be at peace. Like, at the end of the day, I felt joy. Wow, that's feeling pretty great, God. Wow. Okay, El Shaddai rocks. And so I'm thinking I've had a breakthrough at work, because the Lord knows I have prayed about my job. But so one day I'm driving around town, and I think we were trying to get out of town, and I had, you know how you do, you have to, you know, you paint your baseboards and get your roof replaced when you go out of town. Why do we do that? I don't know, but I had that, you know, crazy list of stuff to do because I was going out of town. And I thought, oh, I've got to go to Whole Foods, which is real close to my house. And so I go and get in the lane at Whole Foods, and I just missed the light. And there were people filling up the intersection that I needed to go across, and they weren't moving out of the way and all that. And all of a sudden, I felt this just little ratchet up in my chest of tightness. And I felt just a little sense of anxiety, and I went, oh. And it was like I realized I'm feeling anxious right now. And I'm so glad I'm feeling anxious right now, because I'm realizing that I haven't felt that in a really long time. And what I discovered is I didn't just have a breakthrough at work, and I didn't just have a stream of God's peace overflowing its banks when I'm sitting in his presence in my sofa with my coffee, you know, but that God's peace had overflowed in just my day. And it was such an amazing feeling. Now, am I living that 24/7? Am I living that 365? I'm going to tell you that I've had, like, getting ready for all the logistics of this, some anxiety has crept in, and then I have the opportunity to do I pick that up, or do I drink deeply from the peace of God? I get to choose. And sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't, I'll be honest. But what is great to know is that that stream of peace overflowing its banks is available to me through El Shaddai, who wants to comfort me and nourish me and hold me close and let me hear his heartbeat with that mother anointing. So that's just one sample of what it can be like to get to know God through his various names. I never saw that one coming, y'all. You can't make this stuff up. You know, God is amazing. He's just so vast, and I just love walking with the Lord, because he does stuff like that all the time. So I'm just going to close with that, and I will, the verse I wanted to close with is Psalm 9:10. I've loved this one for a long time, and I want to kind of make this into a prayer for all of us. It says, those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you have not forsaken those who seek you. So, Lord, I thank you for each one of these women who's come seeking you today. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and you are true to your word. Thank you that you're El Shaddai and you're sufficient for every one of our needs, every one of our longings, every one of our days, every one of our seasons. You're sufficient for this year and next and all of eternity. Lord, thank you that that's who you are. Thank you that you are Father. Thank you that you are Mother. Thank you that you're Provider. Thank you that you're Covenant Keeper. Thank you for all that you are. I just thank you for revealing those names to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in us, that we would be able, at a heart level, in that inmost being place, be able to take that aspect of you into ourselves, Lord, and that we would be able to drink deeply of the peace that that brings, the hope that that brings, the love that you flow to us because of it. And, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to see ourselves differently and understand our identity in new and exciting ways, Lord, because of who you are. And Father, I just pray that these words that we've read in your scriptures would birth faith in us to believe that every spiritual blessing under heaven can be ours because of the blood of Jesus, because of his sacrifice on the cross, and because you've made us your child, and because every promise of yours is yes and amen in him, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we can count on you to do all these things on our behalf. So we now ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and I pray that you would minister to each one of us, Lord, as we write our one things. Amen.